Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chaf. We left off on Daf Yutas and Beis. We are at Amri B'nei Rabbi Chiyah, four lines from the end of the page. On Daf Yutas and Beis, she is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lulu Nishmas' mother, Goldava Simcha Aldaa Shalom, the Neshama Shavna Aliyah. We thank you very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to define how to do Malika and whether the Simanim have to be moved to the back of the neck in order to do the Malika. And the Gemara is going to discuss three different possibilities of which halacha the words are of Kasher B'Shchita, Pasul B'Malika, are teaching us. The Mishnah says this extra phrase, that whatever is Kasher B'Shchita, Pasul B'Malika, what is that adding that we don't already know from the earlier parts of the Mishnah? We're going to have three possibilities. The Gemara is then going to discuss whether the idea of Ikur Simanim Ba'of, of Ein Ikur Simanim Ba'of, that the din of Ikur applies to a behema, but it does not apply to an oaf. Does that fit better if you assume shchita sa'of is a din da'oraisa, or does that fit better if you assume shchita sa'of is a din da'rabanan? And also, does the idea also of ein ikur siman above also apply to shchita, or is it just by malika that we assume ein ikur simanim? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the bird becomes a nevela when you cut through the simanim from the back of the neck. And if it does become a nevela, we're going to try to understand what the purpose of Malika is if it's already dead and the bird is already in Avela. The Gemara is going to compare the mitzvah of Havdalah on an Ola Sa'of, where you're supposed to sever the head of an Ola Sa'of. You're supposed to cut through both Simanim. We're going to compare that to Dinim of Shechita, and that will bring us already into tomorrow's Daf. So let's begin. Again, we're holding four lines from the end of the page on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. Amri B'nei Rabbi Chiya. The B'nai Rabbi Chiyah, who are identified in Maseches Avodah Zarah as Yehuda and Chizkiyah, so they said that Mitzvah Malika, the way to do the mitzvah of Malika, is machzir simanim la'achoreya oref umalik, that the Kohen takes the simanim, the kana and the veshet, and flips them around to the back of the neck and does the Malika by cutting through with his fingernail the kana and the veshet when they are in the back of the neck, by flipping it around to the back of the neck. So ika da amri af machzir. Some say what the B'nai Rabbi Chiyah meant is that you can even be machzir the simanim, that you're allowed to do Malika in such a way. But certainly the Ikur Mitzvah Malika is to go right through the spine of the neck of the oaf and to get to the Simanim that way, by going through the back until you reach the Simanim and cutting the Simanim that way from the back. That is how Rashi understands this Shita of Af Machzir, that the best way to do Malika is not to be Machzir Simanim. But if you do that, it's still going to be a Kasher Malika. However, the Ran sounds like he's saying that there are two ways that are kosher to do Malika lechadchila, that af machzir means machzir simanim is the same as not being machzir simanim when it comes to Malika. And he says that it has to be that the Ikar Mitzvah Malika is on the simanim, and therefore when you're machzir the simanim, the Malika is going to be kosher. But since the Torah says mimul arpo, so it sounds like the Torah gives you rishos to be choteich the simanim me'achorei oref, however you choose to do it. So even when you're not machzir the simanim, even though when one is not machzir the simanim, the oaf becomes a trefa as soon as you break through the neck of the animal before you cut the simanim. But that's a derech hakasher b'malika. The Torah says mimul orpo is going to be mutter as well. So therefore, when you're machzir the shchita, just like you have by shchita, when you cut through a little bit of the veshet, the animal would become a trefa. If you would cut through a little bit of the veshet and just leave it like that, the animal would become a trefa. Nevertheless, when you complete the cut, that becomes a kasher shchita. So the same is true by Malika, that you're cutting through the bone in the back of the animal, of the bird's neck. It's making it a trefa, in a chinami, but that's how you do Malika. So the Ran understands that there are two lichadchiladika ways to do Malika. One is just by doing it straight, the other by being machzir the simanim. Whereas Rashi learns that af machzir means, no, the most lichadchila way to do Malika is not to be machzir the simanim. But if you're machzir the simanim, that works as well. V'ikata amri machzir dafka. The second version of B'nai Rabbi Chiyah is not that it also works if you're machzir the simanim. It only works if you're machzir the simanim. If you're not machzir the simanim and you cut through the shidra from the back of the neck in order to get to the simanim, the malika is going to be puzzled. So the Tosfos, that's how Rashi understands at least. Tosfos in Dibra Maskel Mustavra says that according to the shita that Bnei Rabbi Chiya said machzir dafka, it's only a din lecharchila. But b'dieved it's going to be kosher even if you're not machzir. But the way Rashi learns is that if, according to this version of Bnei Rabbi Chiya, if you're not machzir the simanim la'achorei ha'of, puzzle. It's not a valid malika. So two versions of what Bnei Rabbi Chiya said. We certainly know that they raised the possibility of being machzir the simanim, either first version as an additional way to do malika, or second version as the only way to do malika. Umistaver command yamar af machzir. It's most mistaver that they're adding an additional way to do malika, but not the only way to do malika. Mimai, how do I know that? Midiktani, because it says in our Mishnah that our Shochet mina oref shchita subsula, that if you shecht from the back of the animal's neck, the shchit is going to be pasul. Hamolik mina oref malika sukshera, but if you do malika from the back of the animal's neck, of the bird's neck, the malika is going to be kosher. V'i salka daitach machzir dafka. If you're going to assume that the Bnei Rabbi Chiya allowed being machzir the simanim and only being machzir the simanim, specifically, it's the only way to do malika. And when the Mishnah says hamolik mina oref malika sukshera, it means that you were machzir the simanim, that the case that the Mishnah was talking about was one where you moved the simanim to the back of the neck. Well, then, my iriya molek afilu shochet. Then why do we say that if you're molek from the oref, the malika is kasher, afilu shochet nami? If you had moved the simanim to the back of the neck, and then you do a shchita on those simanim, regular shchita knife, not your fingernail, molochu mevi, sharpness of the knife, but you're doing it on the back of the neck, because that's where the simanim are now, because you flipped them around to the back of the neck. That should be fine. That should be a kashra shchita, because you're cutting through the simanim in the regular way. How come the Mishnah says that if you are shochet, that if you're molik mina oref, that's great. If you're shochet mina oref, that's no good. Well, if the whole the ukimta in the Mishnah is that molik mina oref presumes that you move the simanim to the back of the neck, well then shochet mina oref should work as well. Elolav shma mina af machzir. So it must be that Bnei Rabbi Chiya did not teach us that malika must be done by being machzir the simanim lachorei oref. No, they told us it may also be done by being machzir the simanim lachorei oref. And if you did not do that, and you just cut through the shidra and the mafrakas first, and to reach the simanim, that would also be a kashra malika. And that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, not where you were actually machzir the simanim. Umas nisin b'dalowa hadar. The Mishnah is talking about a case where you were not machzir the simanim, and that's why the malika is going to be kashra mechorei oref, but the shochet is not going to be kosher me'achareya oref because the simanim aren't there. And if you're just slicing through with a shechita knife, maluch maybe in the regular way, from the back of the neck, that is possible because you're not getting to the simanim until after you've cut through the whole rest of the neck of the animal. So that Tosos explains, why does the Gemara ask on the mandiyamar that b'loshon mistavra and not b'loshon tiyufta, right? Meaning what the Gemara says is, u'mistavra k'mandiyamar af machzir, that we had two versions of Bnei Rabbi Chiya, and we didn't ask on one of the versions in the strongest lashon we could have. L'chora, it's pretty good proof. If the Mishnah were talking about a case, had to have been talking about a case of machzir simanim, because that's the only way to do malika, then the Mishnah doesn't work, because shchita should also be valid. So it's a very strong proof. So Tosfos on Yutas on Beis, Dibra Maskel Mistavra, is bothered, why Mistavra and not Tiyufta? So he says, because even according to the shita that machzir dafka, that's only the chachila. Meaning, we mentioned before that unlike Rashi, where Rashi understood that machzir dafka meant it's the only way to do malika, and if you do it, if you aren't machzir, it's a puzzle of malika. Tosfos learns that if you're not machzir, even according to that mandiyamar, it's kosher b'dieved. It's just not kosher lechachila. So molik min ha'orif in the Mishnah could have been explained according to the mandiyamar machzir dafka when you were not machzir, and it's talking about a b'diavad case. So the Mishnah is not 100% Tiyufta, because Tosfos leaves open that possibility that even the Mandi Amar, that you must be Machzir, if you didn't, it would still be Kosher. So that could have been the case that the Mishnah was talking about. That was Tosfos' Hechrich to say that it would still be Kosher B'diavet. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yannai, so according to both understandings of Bnei Rabbi Chiya, though, we said that if you are Machzir the Simanim La'Chorav, and you do Malika on the Simanim that are now located in the back of the bird's neck, the Malika is for sure going to be Kosher. The whole question was, did Bnei Rabbi Chiya say that that's an additional form of doing Malika, or did they say it's the only form of doing Malika? But for sure, the great Chiddush of the Bnei Rabbi Chiya is that the Malika is Kosher when you move the Simanim to the back of the neck. So Amar Rabbi Yannai, Yikablu HaRovin Es Tshuvasan. These young guys, these Rovin, should receive the answer to their Chiddush, meaning I'm going to show that they are incorrect, that it's not true, that if you move the Simanim L'Achorei Oref, it is not a valid Malika. The Lashon of Rovin we find throughout Shas means young people. The Gemara Masecha Sukkah Daf Hei says that we call Yenuka Ravya, when it talks about the Kruvim, is Kiruvya, that the Kruvim have the faces of the Mishnah Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Hei over there goes through what the Kruvim looked like and how the Kanafayim were and how high they were, because it talks about Sikuch, and it talks about, so the Kanafayim of the Kruvim are supposed to be Misakech over the Kaporas, so we talk about what the shear is to have Kosher Eschach. But anyway, in that context, it tells us that a Yenuka is a Ravya. In Meseches Tamid, the Mishnah tells us that Rovim were Shomrim Sham, that they had Rovim watching the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mefarish says that means Kohanim that are not yet old enough to do the avoda, meaning they're under bar mitzvah. And on the pasuk Vayigdal HaNa'ar in Sefer Shmuel, when it describes at the beginning of Shmuel growing up, the targum on Vayigdal HaNa'ar is Verava Ravya, that the Ravya grew up. So this is, so some of the Achronim are bothered by this, that Yekabli Rabbi Yannai is insulting the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, that he's calling them Kinderlach, he's saying that they're children. Okay, so they try to come up with some other explanation of what Rovin means, but Pashup Shad is that it means children. So he says, let the children receive their answer. To Katani, because it says in our Mishnah, Nimtza Kasher B'Shchita, Pasul B'Malika. Kasher B'Malika, Pasul B'Shchita. That which works for Shchita does not work for Malika, and vice versa. So, but it already said in the Mishnah that the Oref is the place where you're supposed to do Malika and not the place where you do Shechita. And that the Tzavar, the front of the neck, is the place where you do Shechita, and it's possible to do Malika in the front of the neck. So what is the Mishnah telling me? There must be some other din when it tells me that Kasher B'zeh is possible B'zeh. So Lemute Mai, what's it coming to teach me? Ooh, Lav Lemute Machzir Simanim L'Achorei Oref. Hello. It must be teaching me that Malika cannot be done in a certain way that would be valid for Shechita, which is that if you move the Simanim to the back of the neck and you were to do Shechita there, that's kosher, right? That we already said. Of course that's kosher. You're cutting through the Simanim in the regular way, so that would be kosher for Shechita. But it would not be kosher for Malika. So you see that Bnei Rabbi Chiya are incorrect, because the only way to explain the line in our Mishnah that which is kosher for Shechita is possible for Malika is to say that it's talking about a case where you're machzir Simanim la'chorei ha'oref. So it's a raya against the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. So Amar Rabbi Chana, lo, lemutei shem tziporin. That's not what that line in the Mishnah is talking about. That Mishnah is teaching us that only by Malika are you allowed to use a fingernail. By Shechita, you're not allowed to use a fingernail because it's mechubar to the guf, and you're only allowed to use something that's not mechubar to the guf for Shechita. Says Mara, nah, that can't be what the Mishnah is teaching me. Shem tziporin behedya katanila. We had a Mishnah on Daf Tezvav that said, chutz mimagal kotzer vashinayim vatziporinayim. Right? We already said that you're not allowed to use shein vitziporin for Shechita. So that line of the Mishnah can't be teaching me that you're not allowed to use shein vitziporin for Shechita, and that you're only allowed to use shein vitziporin for Malika. And you're not allowed to use shein for Malika, it happens to be. So tziporin is what you're allowed to use for Malika. Right? If you were to do Malika with your left hand, it's possible. So certainly if you were to do it with your teeth, it's in addition to being gross, it's possible, right? So but we mean over here that the tziporin, that's what we're really talking about over here. There is an interesting comment that one of the achronim has, is quoted in the Darkei Tshuva, that's not sure. What if you have a tziporin that's omedesli kotzeitz? That generally speaking, we say that seir omedli gazeitz, tziporin omedesli kotzeitz, kala omedli kotzeitz ki kotzeitz dami, kala omedli gazeitz ki gazeitz dami. So the reason you're not allowed to use a tziporin for shchita is because it's mechuber to the guf, and anything that's mechuber is going to be possible for shchita. Well, wait a second, if it's omedli kotzeitz, maybe halachically it's not called mechuber anymore. Now it's called detached, even though it's physically attached. So in the Sefer Toar Moshe, quoted in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta over here, he says, no. Halachically, it's considered detached, but legabe hilcho shchita, we don't care about what halachically. We care about whether it's physically detached. Why? He says, because how do I know that you need that mechuber is possible for shchita? Because the pasuk says, vayikach as ma'achelas l'shchotas mino, that Avram Avinu took the ma'achelas, so it's a davar anikach miyadiyad. It's something that could be taken from one place to the other. Something that's physically attached is not nikach. It doesn't fit. Vayikach. So mele, it's not going to be valid for the shechita. So anyway, so the Gemara again is trying to disprove the Bnei Rabbi Chiya by saying that the only way to explain the line in the Mishnah of kala kasher b'shechita is possible b'melika is by saying it's talking about where you're machzir siman la'chorei atzavar. But the Gemara then suggests no, that line might be about shein v'tziporin. Now we reject it. It's not about shein v'tziporin. So we're back to the raya against the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. No, so says Elo Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, there's a third possibility of what that line in the Mishnah is coming to teach me, Lemute Melechumevi, to tell me that only by Shechita do you have this requirement of Halacha Vahava'a, of using a slicing motion. By Malika, you have to go dig in with the fingernail with force into the back of the bird's neck. And if you're Melechumevi with your Tziporen, the Malika is going to be possible. So that's what we meant to say when we said Kalakash b'shchita is possible b'malika. Says Gemara, well, hani chalaman yar molech umevi b'malika possible. That works very well if you assume that molech umevi by malika is going to be possible. And l'man yamar kasher, but if you hold that malika can also be done in a molech umevi motion, which is going to be a discussion that we're going to have on Amud Beis, so l'man yamar kasher ma'ika l'meimar, then the kasher is going to be back. Why does the Mishnah say nimsa kasher b'shchita possible b'malika, kasher b'malika possible b'shchita? The only explanation of that line must be it's a raya against the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. So it says Mar, very simply, Bnei Rabbi Chiya, sorry, the commandier, Molochumevi, the Malika apostle, the Bnei Rabbi Chiya will say that Molochumevi doesn't work on Malika. And therefore, that line in the Mishnah is telling me that even though you're Molochumevi on Shechita, do not be Molochumevi on Malika, that if you're Molochumevi on Malika, it's taka going to be apostle. So as long as the Bnei Rabbi Chiya have what to hold like and what they can teach the Mishnah in that way, and therefore the Mishnah is not a pircha on the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. So we have this machlokas between the Bnei Rabbi Chiya on the one hand, who say that if you're machzir the simanim la'achorei hatzavar la'achorav, it's going to be kosher for a malika, and we have Rabbi Yanai who says that it's possible. The Rambam doesn't say anything. He doesn't tell us when you're machzir the simanim whether it's kosher or not. So in the Likutei Halachos and Maseches Zvachim, he brings a raya. Rav Chaim brings a raya that the Rambam holds like Rabbi Yanai, that if you machzir simanim, the malika is going to be pasul, because the Rambam paskins that molechu mevi is kosher. That if you're molechu mevi by malika, it's kosher. Well, we said that the only way to defend the Bnei Rabbi Chiya is if you hold molechu mevi by malika is pasul. So by the Rambam paskins molechu mevi by malika is kosher, he's telling you, and therefore there's no way to defend the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. The Bnei Rabbi Chiya are against the Mishnah. The Meili is going to paskin like Rabbi Yanai that when being machzir simanim to the back of the bird's neck does not work for Malika. Okay, Amrav Kahana, mitzvahs Malika, kotzeitz v'yored. The way to do Malika is you cut straight through with force without halacha v'ava'a. V'zui mitzvahs, that's the way it's supposed to be done. Savar Rabbi Yavin lemeimar, kotzeitz v'yored molechu mevi lo. So Rabbi Yavin assumes that means that's the only way it could be done, that if you're molechu mevi, with your fingernail from the back of the bird's neck, it does not work. It's not a kosher malika. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah said back to Rabbi Yavin, if malika is kosher by pushing through with your fingernail, kol shekein d'malucha mevi b'malika kosher. I would think all the more so if your malucha mevi is kosher, because whatever you're able to make malika more like shechita, you would think is better, except for that which the Torah is explicitly says that it has to be different. Meaning the Torah says in two ways malika is supposed to be different. One is that malika is on the back of the bird's neck as opposed to the front, and the other is that malika is with your hand and with your fingernail and not with a knife. Other than that, I would think malika should resemble shechita as closely as possible. So if you're allowed to do pushing through with the fingernail, and that works for malika, all the more so if you're malucha mevi, which would be more similar to shechita, it would be valid. Umay zui mitzvasa. So what did Rav Kahana mean when he said zui mitzvasa? Ema af zui mitzvasa. When he said pushing through with the fingernail, zui mitzvasa, he meant, yeah, that also works. But certainly it would be even better if you did malika Al yidei halacha v'hava'a. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Shmuel, kala kasher b'shchita kenegdo ba'oref kasher b'malika. Now over here we're talking about not what kli you use. We're not talking about the motion that you use. Over here we're talking about the placement on the animal's on the bird's neck. So any makam on the neck of the bird that is a kasher place to do shchita, on the reverse side of the bird's neck, that's where you do malika. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, that we already know from the Mishnah, that whatever is kenegeda oref is going to be kasher the malika. So it must be that Shmuel is saying his din in order to be medayik something. He must be trying to teach me hapasel b'shchita, pasel b'malika, meaning the very fact that the very spot on the front of the bird's neck, which is kasher l'shchita, on the back of the corresponding to that, on the back of the bird's neck, is kasher l'malika. I don't need Shmuel for that's the Mishnah. So why is Shmuel teaching me this? It must be that Shmuel wants you to be medayik. Oh, that if you were to find a spot on the front of the bird's neck that's pasel for shchita, the equivalent place on the back of the bird's neck is going to be pasel for malika, and that's a chiddush. L'mute mai, which makom on the back of the bird's neck is Shmuel telling me that it's pasel for malika? Just like on the front of the neck, it would be pasel for shechita. If you're going to tell me that if one of the simanim were ne'akar, were removed from the jaw of the animal and from the basar before you finish the shechita, that the shechita is pasul. And Shmuel is saying that the same is true by malika. But Rami Bar Yecheskel says it's not true. There is no such din of ikur simanim by oaf. And we're going to come back to that. Why would there be no din of ikur simanim by oaf? Ikur is one of the dinim of shechita. So why would that din not apply to shechita sof? We'll get back to that. But if ein ikur siman by oaf at all, even for shechita, so kol shkein that you're not gonna have a din of ikur simanim by malika. So it can't be that Shmuel is coming to tell me that ikur simanim is pasul both for shechita and for malika. So amrav papa lemute rosho. Now what Shmuel is coming to tell me is that just like if you shecht an animal on its head, the shechita is going to be pasul. So too, if you're molik the rosh, the malika is going to be pasul. Says Mar Rosho Pshita, Mi Malarpo Amrachmana Velo Brosho. The Torah is pretty clear about that. That Malika happens on the back of the neck, and not which is Mimol Arpo. Again, like we said yesterday, Arpo is the back of the head. Mimol Arpo is the back of the neck. That's right beneath the head. So says Mar my Rosho. No, when Rav Papa said that Shmuel is coming to teach us Lemute Rosho, he meant Shipui Rosho. He meant where the head starts to curve downward toward the neck of the animal. And the case is that he's talking about where you do the malika on the back of the bird's neck, and you start in a downward motion toward the neck, and you do a hagrama, you move, you tilt your fingernail, and you go adamata tatai until you get to the simanim that are connected to makom hashchita, and you complete the rove of the malika in a makom that's kosher. So that's that's what Shmuel is saying, that just like if you do hagrama and you shecht in such a way, the shechita is going to be possible, even though rov of the shechita was in the makom kasher. So too, if you do hagrama on a malika, that you angle it, and part of the malika was done outside of the range of where you're allowed to do the malika, and the majority of the malika was done inside the range of where you're allowed to do malika, that too is going to be possible. Ukedrafuna Ravasi. Now, Dam Ravuna Ravasi, Higrim Shlish Vishachat Shnei Shlish, Psula, just like Ravuna Ravasi taught us, that if you shecht one third bimakom, that's Roy Lashkita, and then you tilt the knife and you shecht two thirds, you shecht one third in a makom that's not Roy Lashkita, and you tilt the knife and you shecht two thirds in a makom that's Roy Lashkita, that is possible. So too, if you do a malika of one third of the Rosh outside of the makom malika, and then two thirds of the Rosh inside of the makom malika, then the malika is going to be possible as well. Period. So now, it says Gemara, wait just a second. We said before in that there was a Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, there was a brisa that was taught by Rami Bar Yecheskel, that Ein Ikur Simanim Ba'Of, that we know there are a whole bunch of dinei shechita that are Alecha L'Moshe M'Sinai, one of them is Ikur, and that din doesn't apply to an oaf. That Ikur Simanim, apparently, according to this brisa, is not going to passel an oaf. So Amalei Ravacha Breid Rav L'Ravashi, Ravacha Breid Rav says Ravashi, Had the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel Ein Ikur Simanim Ba'Of, that which we learned in the brisa that the din of an ikur simanim doesn't apply to a bird. Lo amran ella l'man yamar in shechita l'of min haTorah. That only works if you assume that there's no din of shechita on an of min haTorah. The Torah only tells us about shechita by a behema, so it never tells us about shechita on an of. So if you assume there's no shechita on an of min haTorah, so then you could say, okay, so since the whole thing is derabanan, so the rabbanan didn't apply the din of ikur to an of. That was their takana, that there's no psul. Whenever they were misakin shechita, they decided that there's not going to be a psul of ikur. Now, according to the shita that ain't shechita lof min haTorah, it means that we don't observe hilchos shechita on a daraisa level, and therefore there's no psul of shihia and drasa and drisa and chalada and hagrama and ikur. All the five halachal moshe misinais that we have on shechita l'chara on a doraisa level do not apply to an oaf. Now that begs the question: there definitely is a concept of nevelas ha'oaf min haTorah, right? Meaning min haTorah, if you have a bird that is a nevela, it's mitame bebeis habliya, it's mitame a person on a doraisa level when you swallow it. So how does a bird ever become a nevela if there's no din of shechita min haTorah on an oaf? So every time when you club an oaf over the head or you shoot it, it should be not a nevela. That's just a kosher bird if there's no dinah. So what you have to say, and the Rishonim point this out, is that there's none of the dinim of shechita apply to an oaf, but you need to do a maisa shechita, meaning you need to do a cutting of the simanim on the neck, and that's how you have to kill the animal. Now, you could do it by pressing down, you could do it by being okay the simanim, you could do it by hiding the knife inside the knife, you could do all of the psule shechita, but it's got to be cutting the simanim. If you're not cutting the simanim, then it's just going to be a nevela. So you club it over the head, it's a nevela. But it's got to be some maisa. That's how the Rishonim explain. Otherwise, there's no way to reconcile the Ein Shechita L'Oaf Min haTorah with the concept of a nevela sof tahar, which is a concept that certainly applies Min haTorah. So again, so Rav Achmed Rava just points out, when Rami Bar Yecheskel says that there's no problem of ikur simanim by an oaf, he must be assuming that there's no din of shechita on an oaf Min haTorah, and that's why we're so flexible to say that the problem of ikur simanim won't apply to an oaf. Avul Mandi Amar Yeh Shechita L'Oaf Min haTorah, but if you hold that there is a din of shechita on a bird Min haTorah, meaning it's halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, it's definitely not a pasuk, but it's halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, so Yesh Ikur, then you would say that, okay, so the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai must have all the dinim of shechita, and therefore there's the din of Ikur would apply to an oaf as well. So Amalei, Rav Ashi says back to Rav Acha, Adraba, Ipcha Mistavra, I'll tell you Pumfa Kert, the man, Yamar Yesh Shechita L'Oaf Min haTorah, if you're going to say that there is shechita L'Oaf Min haTorah, Ikal Ameimar Dahachi Agmare, you could say, look, Min haTorah, it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and that's the way the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is taught, the Ein Ikur, that there's simply no Ikur, as opposed to the other Halachas, because Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai could be whatever. And even if you say that the Limur of Shechita shechita on an oath min haTorah is not pure halacha l'Moshe Sinai. It's from a pasuk that says zos toras habehema v'ha'ov. So you see that the Torah itself links the dinim of behema to the dinim of an oath, and that's where I'm learning that there's a din of shechita on an oath. Still, in yinikor lo lahavik behema, when it comes to the din of ikor, you would say it's not exactly like a behema. The way the Achronim understand Rashi is that since you can't darshan a hekish on your own anyway, so it's also halacha l'Moshe Sinai that tells you that you're allowed to say that when the Torah tells you zos toras habehema va'of, that it's telling you that you need shechita on an oath. That's not on your own. You can't say that on your own. It's a hekish. You're not allowed to just say, oh, these two things are juxtaposed in the Torah, and therefore I'm allowed to apply the halachas of one to the other. So anyway, you're relying on halacha l'Moshe Sinai. So if anyway you're relying on halacha l'Moshe Sinai, halacha l'Moshe Sinai can be as flexible as it wants, right? So halacha l'Moshe Sinai can tell me that there's no ikur, that there's no ikur on an oath. There's no psul ikur on an oath. El man yomer ein shechita l'of min haTorah. But if you hold that the din of shechita sof is not a din d'oraisa at all, elami divrei sofrim, it's purely a rabbinic invention, well, then the rabbanim are limited. The rabbanim are not allowed to just make up whatever they want. They do not have that kind of flexibility. We have a klal in Shas called the tikun rabbanim ke'en d'oraisa tiknum, that when the rabbanim made din d'rabbanan, they always patterned it after din d'oraisa, not because they chose to pattern it after din d'oraisa, but because they must pattern it after dinim d'oraisa. It's baltosim for the rabbanim to just make whatever dinim they want. So they have certain rules within which they have to work. And one of those rules is one of the most important rules is ken d'oraisa tiknum. So mehecha gemirila, what are they using as the model for shechita of an oaf? Mi behema. They're using behema as the model. And therefore, kumilska behema. Therefore, they have to use that model and they have to follow that model and apply all the dinim, including the din of ikur. So Rami Bar Yecheskel said that the din of ikur simanim does not apply to an oaf, and that seems to be whether you're doing shechita or whether you're doing malika, it's just not going to be a problem by an oaf to have ikur simanim. Amar Ravina says not so. Amarli Ravin Bar Kisi, Hadutani Rami Bar Yecheskel, ein ikur simanim ba'of, lo amar el b'malika, avu b'shechita yesh, that he sort of pares down the chiddush of Rami Bar Yecheskel, that when he said that there's no problem of ikur simanim by an oaf, that's only if you're doing malika. So if you do malika, the ikur simanim is not a problem. But if you're doing a shechita, then the ikur simanim is a problem. So ask the Gemara, v'amar Rabbi Yirmiya, amar Shmuel, kala kasher b'shechita kenegdo ba'orav kasher b'malika. And that sounds like ha-pasul-pasul, that whatever is pasul to shechita would be pasul for malika as well. So if you have a bird's neck that had ikur simanim and it's going to be pasul for shechita, shouldn't we automatically say that that's pasul for malika? So how could Ravin Bar Kisi say that ikur simanim is a psul in shechita but is not a psul in malika? Didn't Shmuel teach us whatever is a psul in shechita automatically is a psul in malika? So says Mara Hupliga, Rabbi Yirmiya, who sounds like shechita and malika are the same, and whatever is possible to shechita is possible to malika. And Achinami disagrees with Ravin Bar Kisi, and he holds that according to the Brisa that Ravin Bar Yecheskel taught, by shechita sof there's no psul of ikur simanim, just like malika sof there's no psul of ikur simanim. Meaning, in Achinami, there's a machlokas what Rami Bar Yecheskel meant. Did Ravin Bar Yecheskel mean that the problem of ikur simanim only exists by shechita but not by malika or of an oaf, or did he mean it doesn't exist at all by an oaf, not by shechita and not by Malika? So it's a reasonable machlokas to have. Amar Zi'iri, now Zi'iri comes as Mechadish the following. Nishpra Mafrakes, if let's say you have a behemoth's spine is broken, the neck bone is broken, Verov Basar Ima, and most of the flesh in that area of the body is also cut through, Nevela, that bird is now, that behemoth is now a Nevela, even though the behemoth may be jumping around and may still be moving. And if you were to shech the behemoth while it's still Mefarcheses, while it's still jumping around, the shechita will not help take away the nevela status. I mean, you've already made it a nevela when you cracked its neck and broke through the basar in the back of the neck. If you then flip it around and do a maisa shechita, too late. It's a nevela at that point. That's what Zi'iri teaches us. So Amar Rav Chisda, Afananami Tanina. I can learn this from a Mishnah, and therefore, if I can learn it from a Mishnah, it's a kasha on Zi'iri, because why would Zi'iri have to tell me that which I already know from a Mishnah? Because when it comes to malika, when we said that you got to use the kohen that uses his fingernail to do the malika, we said malak besakin, if he does improper and he uses a knife to do the malika, it's pasul, and the bird becomes a nevela, and therefore metame begadim abeis abliya. The it's going to be metame the begadim abeis. If a person eats it, then when he swallows it, it's like a nevela of tar, where it becomes tame. But ve'i amrit, if you're going to say that a behema that's nifrika mafrakta imrov basar is treifa havya, if you're going to say that it's not a nevela, that it's only a treifa, unlike ze'iri. So when you do the malika of an oaf with a knife, even though it's not being done properly, but malikasa zui shchitasa, the malika should be considered like a shchita, because in the end of the day, you cut through the simanim of the behema properly. So even though the behema became a treifa prior to doing the shchita, because you started cutting in the back, so you already treifed it up before you ever reached the simanim, right? So before you got to cutting the simanim of the animal, you already cut through the mafrekas with the rova basar. So, but tahanila, sakin latari midei nevela, at least by the time you reach with the knife to the simanim, the bird should not become a nevela, because you shechted it while it was still alive. Meaning the difference between making something a nevela and making something a treifa is when you say that something is a nevela, you are saying it is dead. When you're saying you turn something into a treifa, you're saying it is sick, not that it is dead. So if a bird is already a nevela, there's nothing you could do afterwards. You can't take a nevela and then start doing a maisa shchita on it and saying, oh, now it's not a nevela. Nothing you could do. It's too late. If the bird has become a treifa, you can still shech the treifa, and that will prevent tumas nevela, meaning you're not allowed to eat a treifa, you're not allowed to eat a nevela, but the tuma only applies to a nevela. The tuma will not apply to a treifa. So it must be that this Mishnah is assuming, like Ze'iri, that once you break the mafrakas with rova basar, it is a nevela, and therefore the shchita will not work to be mitar mitei nevela. So the Gemara says, now Amri, you cannot prove from the Mishnah that Ze'iri is correct, because hasu mishum d'lav shchita yiklal. In the Mishnah, the reason that the reason is not because it was a nevela before the shchita, but it's because the shchita with the sakin me'achori atzavar is not considered a shchita kshera at all, and therefore even if it's not considered, even when if you break the mafrekas with the basar, it's not considered a nevela, it's only a treifa, but this shchita is not a shchita that's going to be mitar mitei nevela. Meaning, eino chinami, when you cut through the back of the neck, you have not turned the animal into a nevela, you've turned it into a treifa. And if you were to flip it around and do a kosher shchita at that point, it would still be, you could still salvage it. But that's not what you did. You continued to cut from the back through the simanim, and that is not a valid shchita. So you never did a valid shchita. My time, why is that not a valid shchita? You cut through the simanim, who cares that you did so coming from the back of the neck? So Rafunam Neshu Machlid, because by the time you cut the simanim, your knife is hidden in the neck of the animal, and that's a violation of Chaladha. Rava Amram Neshu Dores. No, it's because you're doing a Maisa Malika, so you're pressing, and if you're pressing down, then that's not a valid shchita. So Madyam Neshu Machlid, my time alone Neshu Dores. So the Rafuna, who said that the reason is because the knife is hidden, why didn't he say that it's the problem is that you're being Dores? Because he holds that it's not so pashut that you're being dores, since by malika he holds you're allowed to be maluchu mevi. So maybe the type of malika we're describing is a maluchu mevi kind of malika. Umandi Omar, and the opinion that says meneshu dores, meaning Rava, who said that the reason was that you were dores, and that's the problem. That's the reason that it's not a valid shchita when you reach the simanim. My time alo am meneshu machlid. Why didn't he say that the problem is that the knife is hidden in the neck of the animal? So Amalach, Rav would say, Chalada hechidami. Chalada means like a weasel that hides in the crevices and the holes in your house where you can't see it at all. Demekasya, it's entirely hidden from sight. But hacha, when you're cutting from the back of the bird's neck, hamigalia, you see the knife. You may not see the simanim so well, but you see the knife when you're cutting from the back of the bird's neck. So it doesn't qualify as chalada. Chalada would mean you stab the knife into the neck of the bird, so the knife is hidden, and then you slice through the simanim. That would be chalada. Over here, you're cutting from the back of the bird's neck, so the knife is visible the entire time. So amarava ikashli hakashli. If I'm going to ask on Ze'iri, here's how I would ask on Ze'iri. That according to Ze'iri, when you do malik of an oaf, it turns out that before you're molik the simanim, that it's already a nevela when you cut through the mafrekas with rova basar. V'chimesa omeru molik. Could it be that the Torah is telling me that once it's dead, it's already a nevela? You cut through the back of the neck, it's already a nevela, that you then have to be molik the simanim? Why? Why would the Torah tell me to take that which is already dead and is already in a vela and then continue a malika? So Amalei Abaye says to Rava, if that's what you're saying, that it can't be that the Torah tells me to be molik simanim after it's already dead, well, by an olas of, that's for sure what the Torah is telling me. To buy a shnei simanim, because the halacha by an olas of is you got to cut through both simanim. Well, guess what? You got to cut through kana and the veshet. Well, a bird, when you cut through one of them, is already dead. So if when you cut through one of the simanim, it's already dead, why is the Torah telling me to continue to cut through on the other one? So v'chimesa omeinu molik, is the Torah telling me I'm supposed to do malika on that which is already dead? Samalei, hasam k'tei l'kayim b'mitzvah havdala. Nah, you can't bring a raya from the din of havdala, from the din of an olas ha'ov, because the malika of an olas ha'ov has a separate requirement of havdala between the rosh and the guf, and to be makta the rosh alone and the guf alone. And therefore, the Torah says to be molik shnei simanim, even though it's already considered dead after the malika of the first simon. But by chatas ha'ov, where there is no din of havdala, and therefore the Torah does not require to be molik both simanim, you only need to be molik one simon, it must be that the bird is still alive before you're molik that simon. So therefore, we're back to the kasha on ziri. V'chimesa omidu molik ziri, you want to tell me that when you cut the mafrekas and rov basar of the mafrekas, that it's dead, that it's already in avela? It can't be, because if it's dead, would you continue to be omidu molik? So Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Ihachi in the middle of this conversation tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.